It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
The island is new, Travis.
Little Gasparilla Island.
Little Gasparilla Island, as we affectionately call it, the island.
We are live.
Live, semi-live from last week.
We are live right now.
We are live right now, but our listeners don't know that.
They can't hear us at this moment.
They can't hear us.
Although when they're hearing this,
it will be this moment.
Yes. So.
Oh God, can we please move on to a new what's new?
What's new with you, Emily?
Well, we're here recording in front of our family on the island. We're all sitting around a kitchen table. But before we get into this whole shenanigans, we do have a new review from Pooper Scooper 629.
Nice. Okay.
They say, I don't know how I feel about this review. Welcome to the most entertaining outdoor infomercial in podcasting. I love the show, but my wallet doesn't. I now own a pair of Olokai sandals and will be buying a Florida Fishing Products Osprey setup. My release is power poles. You guys are left coasters, and you guys are left coasters and bring a valid argument to why they could be great, but as East Coast fishermen, it's just an expensive clutter on the transom while fishing anywhere but the shallows.
Well, we appreciate you listening, but you're wrong about power poles.
Objectively wrong.
Wrong.
Clearly wrong.
Clearly. I've used them all week, and they are the greatest invention of all time.
But thank you for...
That's a bold
statement. For the review, though.
Thank you for the five-star review.
Five-star review.
Yeah, and FFP will be looking for our check in the mail.
And Olokai.
What's new with you, Trav?
So we have a room full of people. We are on vacation, as Nate alluded. We have, in the room, I'm just going to go down the list. We have Nate's entire family. Kaylee, Grace, Matt, Terry, his dad, Tammy, his mom. Am I missing anybody? And then we have my mom and dad, and then my kids are somewhere around here eating chocolate chip cookies and making funny faces. So what we're going to do is we've talked a lot about Little Gasparilla Island on the show. That is the barrier island off the coast of Southwest Florida where we go on vacation every year. And among us, we have spoken a lot about the stories that we have from our trips to Little Gasparilla Island. And a lot of our listeners have said, hey, we would like to hear some more stories. We love your Uncle Tim's stories. We love when Nate's talking about hunting growing up and stuff like that. So
every review is like, can we hear more from Nate?
Yeah. Basically, they want a Nate show. Also, the power just flickered. So with that said,
we got to make this quick.
I can't.
Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't even blink.
All right.
With that said, my family has been coming here. Well, my mom was probably the original that came here. So she's got a story from her youth. She's going to go first. Joy Thompson, nervous about the mic. First time ever on a podcast. There you go. There you go. Perfect.
Exactly what you have to do.
Okay. Let's see. My story is going to be about my family, my three sisters. We actually have six in our family, but this one is about my three sisters, our two sisters, and myself.
Mom, how long have you been coming to the island?
60 years.
So this story occurred here?
Yes. This story occurred on Gasparilla. The three girls were in the boat with my dad, and my dad was a retired colonel in the Air Force. So he was, that kind of gives you an idea of him, real staunch.
Let me interrupt to say that when I grew up fishing with your dad, he had a cane pole wrapped with duct tape so he could whack you in the back of the head wherever you were at in the boat.
And he carried it with him everywhere he went.
Yeah, we were scared to fish with him. Like, we drew straws for who had to go fishing
and
with granddaddy.
And he had that with him at this time.
Yes.
And he had his cast net, and he was very good with the cast net. But he always wore long sleeve shirt, buttoned up, khakis, straw hat, the whole nine yards, all covered up. So
pre-Columbia sportswear.
Oh, pre-Columbia.
Technical fishing gear.
No technical fishing gear for grade A.
And so he took that cast net and he threw it out in the water. And when he did, one of the pieces of net got hung on his button. And it snagged him over the side of the boat and caught his feet on the rail of the boat. And the three girls were sitting in the boat, and we just die laughing. It's hilarious to us, and we are laughing like crazy. And what we don't realize is his feet got caught on the rail of the boat, and the net has pulled his head underwater.
So he's drowning.
He's drowning. And we are laughing hysterically. And then we realize he's drowning. And so we run and we grab his feet and we're pulling him in. And we are, tears are just running down our face. We get him in. We get the net in. And we've got to straighten our faces up because you don't laugh at stuff like this. So we all straighten our faces back up and we run back to our seats and we sit down and we've got the straightest faces we've ever seen. And he's got his hat on. He hasn't lost anything. And he turns around and he looks at all three of us. And he looks at each one of our faces and he just burst out laughing. And it was the funniest moment I think I've ever had with my dad. It was hilarious.
Probably the last time he laughed on a boat.
Yeah, maybe. But it was funny.
Terry said the first time, probably the only time he ever laughed on a boat. So that sets the stage for, we've got a long litany of fishing stories and outdoor stories surrounding Little Gasparilla Island.
We could do a whole podcast series just on, like,
yeah,
it could be the Little Gasparilla Island Stories podcast.
Absolutely, it could. So who's going next? Terry, this is Nate's dad.
Hi, everyone. I have a Nate fishing story from LGI. This was, Nate was about 14 years old, I think.
13.
Probably. Okay.
That year's going to matter.
Right.
He was big for his age. So we were out fishing one afternoon, fishing an oyster bar with topwaters. And so Nathan had learned to throw a plug a long way. And we were standing on the boat. There were three of us, I think. And so Nate one time just reared back and we were really trying to reach this oyster bar. And I felt something like a hammer hit me in the back of the head. And it happened that it was a skitter walk and not a hammer. And I was wearing a ball cap, and the treble hook, the back treble hook, caught me right between the little strap and the material of the cap and buried itself in the back of my head. So I sat down and immediately grabbed the line so he wouldn't keep fishing with it. And so we cut the line and tried to get it out, and then we had some friends fishing in another boat. So we went over to their boat and said, hey, can you help us try to get this thing out of my head? And we snipped it and did all the things that you try to do and pull it and everything else, and we just couldn't get it out. So one of my friends said, look, get in our boat. We'll take you to, if you've ever been to Little Gasparilla, if you're going anywhere, you have to get in the boat, go to the marina, get in the car, and go wherever you're going. So my friend Steve, Travis's dad, and his brother-in-law, and I think we picked up my wife, maybe. And we got the boat, went to the marina, got in the car, and headed to Inglewood Community Hospital, which is a great little hospital. We've been there several times. We have a rewards card.
Everyone at this table has been to Inglewood Community Hospital.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the norm when we walk in. But the best part of the story to this point was when we were getting ready to leave and Nathan got in the boat, the other boat that was there, and I said, Nate, why don't you just go back to the cabin and we'll be back later? And he said, Dad, you know, it really makes me feel bad that I did this, and it'll make me feel better if I just stay out here and fished a while.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Was this also the time where, while you had the hook in your head, he saw the tarpon rolling in the intercoastal and was wanting to cast to the tarpon?
I think that's probably the case, yes. Yes.
Nothing settles a heart like
that. Right. But he was 13, as we said earlier. So we get to Inglewood Community Hospital, and my assumption is people come in there with these things all the time. It's normal. You know, everybody has a hook in their head once in a while, so people, you know, they were used to seeing it. So we walked into the emergency room, and I'm holding with my, I think my left hand, I'm holding the plug, which is still, the whole plug's still in my head. If I let go of it, yeah. No, we pulled the hat off. So the if I let go of it, it would dangle and pull on the treble hook. So I had it kind of holding it over my head, the plug over my head, and we walk in there, and everybody's staring, of course, and the nurses are going, oh, my goodness, whatever. So we went back to the, you know, long story short, which is already, it's too late for that, I guess, but we went back to the little room back there, and the doctor finally came in, and a really nice guy, but he was talking to me and just kind of figuring out, okay, what's going on? And then he came around the back of my head and looked at it and said the words that you never want your doctor to say, oh my God. And so I'm thinking, okay, haven't they seen this before? Maybe not. And so they deaden my head. He gets a toolbox. I think he went out to his car to get it. I'm not sure. And dumped it out on the counter and seriously took some wire snips and a couple pair of pliers, potentially a Phillips head screwdriver. I'm not sure. And got the thing out of my head. So that's one of our many, many medical LGI stories.
And that one gets told literally any chance.
Yeah, I've heard it three times this week.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I would put it on a couple of different podcasts if I could, if I were you.
Almost like a right. warning label.
Yes, yes.
And so this is Matt speaking. As Nate's younger brother, growing up on the boat, I was probably seven when you did this. I have heard, watch your back, Cass. Watch your back, Cass. Watch your back, Cass. Every single time I picked up a fishing rod for my entire
life. You've suffered
life.
Immensely. Mm-hmm. You probably weren't allowed to use plugs until recently.
I'm still not. I mean, I'm an adult now, and they're still like, whoa, all right.
Are we going to give a plug. Scooter walk? I don't know.
Everybody kind of looks behind them and ducks a little bit when you cast.
You know the one time I didn't say it? That time.
Well, this explains too, like every time this week you guys have gotten up early to go throw plugs, it's only been the two of you on that 22-foot boat, so right. there's enough room.
Yes. And I'm behind the T-top.
Yeah, yes. Where they can't reach you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I still have that skitter walk, by the way. In a,
yeah.
Yeah. One day I'm going to get it mounted, but I haven't done that yet.
I'm going to have to mount a plug after this week, too. That redfish.
Oh, yeah. You caught a big redfish on a spin image.
Yeah. The spin image.
I'll buy that spin image
for
you.
1,000 fish. No, you can't. It doesn't work anymore.
I know. Oh, it's broken?
It literally will not work right anymore.
Oh, they
crushed
it. That
redfish did it. It did it in. I'm going to have to like frame it and hang it up.
Okay. Dad, are you ready? Because now Nate's spent some time in the blender. I'm guessing it's going to be my turn.
Oh, absolutely.
And I guess I should preface, and I think we've alluded to this. This island is not accessible, except Terry talked about this, except by boat.
Correct.
So once you're on the island, growing up, our rule always was you basically couldn't get in any trouble because you're on an island. So you could kind of have the run of the place. So carry on.
I remember when Travis was somewhat beginning to show an interest in the female types of people. He was going to go walk in the beach with this young lady that was down here vacationing with us. And we, you know, extolled on the safety, you know, features of the beach. Nobody does anything. It's very safe down here. You're not going to get hit by a car. So you guys go ahead, be back here by like 9 o'clock.
I think it was 11.
11. Okay, 11. Well, 11 o'clock came and passed, and no Travis and no young lady.
So and her dad was with us.
Her dad and her mom, they were all panicking. I was trying to calm them down. I said, come on, let's go. Let's go. We'll go out. We'll walk. So I start walking. They go to the south end of the island towards the point. I go to the north end, and I run into them walking, you know, fast on the way back. And I caught up with them. I said, hey, guys, are y'all okay? Yes, yes. Dad, that goofy watch that I bought at Disney World that goes backwards, I couldn't tell time, and I just didn't know what time it was. And I said, look, you're okay. Just be prepared that when you get back, your mom is really upset, Miss Young Lady, because, not using any names, of course. So you need to be prepared for two parents down there that are looking for you. You're lost at sea or something. So that was it. He just had a preference for, you couldn't tell him anything at that age. And
I've outgrown that.
And he's outgrown that immensely.
Whoa. Everybody laughed.
Wasn't it part of the excuse for that night? I remember it. I think I was on the
you were on search the committee.
Party.
You were on yeah. the, yes, you
the
were.
Search party. I think I went west. but wasn't part of the excuse that night we got distracted?
They did get distracted.
Okay, yeah. I thought it wasn't just the Goofy Watch.
Yeah, well, it was. Goofy Watch was, you know,
I don't remember
suspect.
Any of this.
Very suspect. He had a problem at that time trying to discover women. And he had a problem with a stingray episode when he was a little younger before he liked girls. And he stepped on one, he got stung, and it just, you probably all saw those old Johnny Weissmuller movies where he swims so fast. That was Travis swimming so fast to get back to
the
shore.
The old Tarzan, yeah.
Because.
Dad said he heard me scream and turned around and I was 100 yards away.
Yes. He was on the shore. And so for years, he was afraid to go into the water until this very, very pretty young lady came out, and three or four guys, they all decided they were following her around, being best friends, and they went down to swim in the Gulf. And it was about dusk. He was out there up to his head in the Gulf with that beautiful young lady and those three old boys. So no more stingray issues, nothing of that sort. So I say to you moms and dads out there, just hang on. They will make that correction at some point in life back where they should go. So
that's a problem that a lot of our listeners have.
It sounds like you finally...
was non-traditional, and then I was traditional. Yeah.
Do you notice what he said? When he started liking girls, as if before that point you didn't like girls.
Correct. No, like I liked them the whole time, but well, she was not a girl. Matt, do you have something?
I have a story.
Unless we're doing a special segment.
No, absolutely.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Do you have a special segment prepared?
No, I should have prepared.
Like a Kenny Chesney segment of the.
Yeah, welcome to the surprise Kenny Chesney segment of the... No, that was another podcast for another time. One day, we decided to come down here for 2 weeks. And we had the crazy idea that, oh, we'll stay in one cabin 1 week and one cabin another week. Yeah, Dad says it was free, so that was, defends it. When it was a good idea in theory, but once you have to schlep everything down from the house to the car to the boat to the island to the dock...
There are no stores on the island.
No, you have to take...
There's nowhere to buy anything. You take everything with you.
Everything that and our family has never been known to underpack. So
we had our dog with us. Yeah.
That dog was like 47 years old then.
This is the most
human years
dog you ever seen in your life. So we get everything down to the first cabin. Everything's great. We have a nice week. Then it comes the day we have to move everything to the other cabin. So we take everything down from the house to the dock to the boat. And we're moving everything back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. My sister Kaylee forgot her precious Yeti on the post.
The Yeti cup.
The Yeti cup, yeah. The 32 ounce.
It was a pre-NRA band Yeti cup.
It was.
Yes, it has my initials on it. And
pro Second Amendment.
Monogrammed, one of our prized possessions. And it's a 32 ouncer, so you know it's,
it was free.
It's worth it. So she leaves it on the dock, on the top of Highland on the dock. Nate was driving the boat, and it had a T-top on it.
It did.
And it was windy.
It was windy. And the tide was ripping out.
Tide was ripping.
And the only thing I could picture was a pelican swooping down and grabbing my Yeti and flying off with it.
A pelican.
So I was like, we have to go back.
Like Scuttle from The Little Mermaid?
Yes.
He wasn't even a pelican.
Well, whatever. Seagull, pelican, any kind of bird.
Wait, what?
Was that Scuttle?
What was that?
So Nate says, all right, Kaylee, get on the bow of the boat. And I'll nudge you up there real nice and easy. And you just snatch it. And we'll back up. We'll go over. It'll be great. And everyone goes, yeah, okay, well, whatever.
Right before this happens, I say, I hate everything.
She was in a bad mood already.
None of us were in a great mood.
Because we had to move cabins.
It was like 1,000 degrees.
It was hot.
And yeah.
The tide was ripping and we weren't fishing. So
right.
That was rough.
Right.
It was a bad day already.
You're heroes at this point for soldiering on through this.
Exactly.
True.
Like, I'm surprised we all had it together at this point. And then Nate nudges that boat up to that dock, and the wind and the tide catches just right where it just, boom, hits it one good time. As Kaylee's reaching in for the Yeti, the boat backs up.
Boat backs up. And
Kaylee stays where she is.
Kaylee's stretching like she's got her hands on the pylon and her feet on the boat, and all of a sudden she starts going horizontal. Like, it's like slow motion.
We're all watching this happen, and everyone just kind of takes that defensive position that you know learn in like baseball where you spread your
the
legs.
The triple threat position.
Right. But that doesn't help Kaylee as she's stretched out between the boat and the dock. But everyone feels like they're doing something when they do that.
There's one small detail that we forgot to leave out. We have literally every possession that we own in the boat at the time this is happening. Literally,
yeah, you couldn't
everything
get to her.
We own is in the boat.
Because, I mean, we had to take everything over, so there's no way to get to
except
her.
The dang Yeti cup.
And Kaylee.
And at this point, everything we own's in the boat, and the Yeti's on the dock, and Kaylee stretched out, and in slow motion, she just, boom, underneath that water. And everyone kind of freezes, and as soon as we see her head come up with that water, we all just keel over laughing. Because once her head's up, she's fine.
How does this make you feel? Because you were not okay, as I remember.
No, so as I'm about to fall in the water, I'm thinking, okay, I can't make it on the dock, or I will, like, kill myself, and I can't make it back on the boat, so I'm gonna have to go in the water. And this is like in 2 seconds I'm trying to make this decision. So I fall in, like, hat, shoes, clothes, all the things on, and I am like
so upset as I'm coming out of the water, and all I see are Terry and Tammy's faces just looking at me, and I am peed off.
You don't want to.
What's the word?
You are submerged, not safe for the podcast.
Yes, not safe for the little ears. So I'm so upset, and like I'm fighting back tears because as I've fallen, I've scraped up my leg on the side piling. Of the dock and like the barnacles. So I'm bleeding, so it's stinging. And they're trying to help me out of the boat, and then they start laughing so I can't get back on the boat. It was just
her
face
when she went under, and it felt like an hour she was underwater.
Her hat, I think, was the first thing to resurface.
Yeah, her hat was like just kind of stayed on the surface. Her hat just kind of went boop and just kind of stayed on the surface. Her face when her head broke the surface was like the Grim Reaper come to collect your soul. Like it was mean looking.
Okay, this is Gilly back on the mic. But in Kaylee's defense, like when we saw her after y'all had moved and she like recovered and came over, what side of your body was it?
Left side of her body.
She looked like a burn victim.
Covered in scrapes and bruises. Like it was bad.
She still has a scar, doesn't she?
Yeah.
We did eventually save the Yeti. And also, in her defense, she was trying to save the power pole too.
No, trolling motor.
Sorry.
Okay. And dodging trash bags and suitcases and a 16-year-old dog and, I mean, everything.
Okay, this reminds me. My best friend growing up, Tony, fell in every time we went fishing. And he had this watch. I don't know anything about the watch, but it was a watch that he liked. And I swear, if it was 16 feet deep, he could hit the bottom, but his arm would not go underwater. He was like, go, gadget arms. I've seen him fall in the middle of Charlotte Harbor and that watch not get wet. I don't know how he did it. But that reminds me, did Tammy push you in on a fishing trip? Yes. Because I feel like that should be, I'm pointing at my dad. My dad, Steve, and Tammy definitely pushed him in at some juncture.
I still have nightmares about that. We were coming across the pass. It was shark infested. Tarpon were everywhere, and it was a pretty scary ride, and we had the boat. Might have been overloaded. I don't know. But I was standing on the edge.
There were 15 of us in a 20-foot flat boat.
I was standing on the edge next to Tammy, and I think she was holding Matthew, who was a little guy. And she kind of just faked at me, you know, pushed like pushing. Well, I lost my balance, and I went to grab, and I grabbed her, and I thought, oh, no, I can't grab a mom and a child. So I just turn loose. And the next thing I know, I was in the pass sinking. I looking up, and it was daylight. I could see everything up above. I could see where my splash was going back up together. And I thought, oh no, I got to swim like crazy. I got to get back up there. And when I popped up, thank goodness, the men in the boat were grabbing him, because I swear it could have been a great white, you know, 20 feet away. It was a pretty nerve-wracking time for my good friend's wife to do that to me.
And this is your good friend's wife speaking. And that was a good plan until the men interrupted.
Yes.
And the nightmares will continue.
Okay, hold on. Did somebody fall in at the trestle?
Yes, so same boat.
Same boat.
Now, there's a railroad trestle. Yeah. There's a railroad trestle that used to carry phosphate over to Boca Grande. And it's old and decrepit, and they don't use it for trains anymore, and it's loaded with fish.
Right.
We fish it a lot still to this day.
So this is at night. I mean, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We have a lantern hung under the trestle to attract bait fish, to attract bigger fish and so forth. So we're fishing out there, and our friend Robert, it's his boat, same boat that Tammy pushed Steve out of.
Allegedly.
So we're fishing, and Robert hangs a big, it was probably a snook, I'm assuming, it hangs a big snook, and he lost his footing, and so he goes over. Tide's ripping out toward the trestle, but he grabs onto the boat with one arm, still has the fish on with his other hand, which is down in the water. So he hands one of us a rod, climbs back in the boat, finishes fighting the fish, and boom, it is.
But that reminds me of that other episode where somebody else was learning how to throw a cast net. Anybody remember that story?
Anybody at this table?
I was too young to remember that story.
I remember it.
So this is my boy Nate, and he's always loved fishing. Really caught the bug down here at Little Gasparilla. And so he must have been five?
5 years old.
5 years old. And we bought him a little, I don't know,
probably four foot
cast net or whatever.
It was a little bitty thing.
And so he was on one of the docks just practicing how to throw the cast net. And we were watching him thinking, oh, we're so proud. That's so sweet. And the next thing we know, he's throwing it. And it's all wrapped around him, and the cast net goes. He goes. I think we go to grab him, you know, because we kind of like him and wanted him back. So that was his first experience throwing the cast net. Now, I can say today I was with him in Charlotte Harbor, and he was throwing a cast net. He didn't go in the water. It was a beautiful throw, lots of bait, so... He's come a long way, baby.
How old was Nate when we would set up on the beach and he would catch? I have contended that at 3 years old, he was catching snook one after another on the beach.
He was probably five. It was probably about the same time, five or six. And I think one day we counted, he caught 25 snook standing
by himself.
There. Yeah.
Like we unhooked him and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like in an hour or something like
that. Yeah. I mean, he was on fire. Go ahead, Matt.
Transitioning into snook. Since we mentioned them. Kaylee has a story about a snook that she will never, ever, ever let us live down, even to this day.
I think it's already been mentioned on the podcast, but I'll tell the story again.
Sure.
Go for it.
I was 14.
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, no, go.
Kaylee caught an 18-pound snook.
40 inches.
End of story.
And I was so excited. Okay, thanks, guys. See you next time. That's really it. I was just
cutting to the chase. I mean, that's a beautiful story.
I don't really, between a but girl there, and a was fish. It a beautiful story? My wrist hurt afterwards.
Yeah, no, it's not that good.
Okay. We had to run around half the beach to get mom.
Still family record for snook.
I think it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do. Thanks to Mr. Steve.
I believe that's the reason you opened your Facebook account.
That's how I got Facebook, because I caught that fish. Mom wouldn't let me get a Facebook, and I said, I have to show the world this. Mom.
Okay.
Jeez. I'm 14.
I want to go back to the guys for a second, because isn't there a story where someone's glasses caught something on fire and or everyone was sick?
Well, there's a story. I'm going to start off saying that today, guys will sometimes let their macho, hey, weather looks bad, should we not go? Oh, no, we should go. You start waiting on someone to cash it in so you can all stay home safe. But we went anyway on a miserable weather weekend.
This was Terry's birthday, right?
It was in May, and this is our friend Robert, who's boat
not
Tammy.
Here to defend himself.
Right,
so.
Right. He's the guy with the boat that Tammy pushed Steve out of.
Allegedly.
So we were coming down for just a night, I think. We were just coming for the afternoon and night, and we were going to fish. So we were in Robert's boat, and I guess neither one of us had a boat then.
No, but back up. We had to stop and have Salisbury steak on the way home, on the way to the
Was it Wachula or Arcadia?
Bowling Green.
Even worse.
You stopped Salisbury steak and Bowling Green.
No,
I object, Your Honor.
I thought it was Mike's restaurant or no, one of
it was down south. But anyway, it was bad.
Yeah. So Steve chose to get. I think we probably got a hamburger. Steve got Salisbury steak with gravy all over it. So. Unbeknownst to us, the Salisbury steak started doing bad juju on his innards. But we got down here, and so we were going to go catch bait. And Steve had a little bag that he stuffed up in the front of the boat. And when he stuffed it up in the storage compartment, he turned on one of those old school lights that you used to clamp on over the edge of the
like
boat.
Like a halogen.
No, it wasn't even halogen. It had a bulb in it.
Like an electrical light.
Yeah. And it had a chrome or stainless steel little reflector, and you clamped it on the side of the boat. And so when you stuffed it in there, it turned that light on. And so we're out there looking for bait, chumming or whatever. I think, had you chummed at that point, Steve, with the Salisbury steak?
Most of my chumming was on the way home. Okay. After the trip.
You were very chummy that trip. But so we started kind of smelling smoke, and then you think, it's probably, you know, something in the distance. And then we look up there, and we're seeing smoke coming out of this. And we hadn't been on the water 20 minutes, and we see this fire. You know, smoke and fire and everything. And Robert's relatively new boat then. And that started that trip off, and then Steve felt terrible the whole time.
Well, and I reached in there and pulled my basket out and had my glasses. And when I put them up on, they just fell apart because they had burnt in two. So that was sad.
Melted?
They had melted.
That's it.
Did y'all catch any fish?
You know, it was so bad weather, and I laid down at the bottom of the boat. I felt so
just
bad.
Just like Jesus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I felt bad.
That was thus endeth the comparison.
Yeah.
Boat almost caught on fire. Right. And the bilge pump or something went haywire, and it mm-hmm. was taking on water. It was bringing water in instead of. And then we headed for home.
Yeah.
And I had to have them stop several times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, that was a great birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good trip.
The gift that kept on giving. Allegedly, there has been some pushback, and you may want a microphone back, that I fish in inclement weather. That is a charge that I would like to.
Everybody at this table.
Raise your hand.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Matthew, would anyone like to address that?
Raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by Travis in this way. Yes, all of us have. What year was that crazy trip?
It had to have been 2014 or 15.
It had to be 13 because my sister-in-law was not pregnant.
And you had my boat.
That on the alleged trip in question, yes.
And you had Terry's boat.
Yes.
And so it was
13.
2013.
I didn't have your boat.
I did, because I had run into ground going over there in that inclement weather.
And I had to get out and push.
That's new to us.
Yeah, so our in-laws were in the boat. My in-laws and your in-laws.
Yeah.
All of our parents were in the boat.
This is Emily and Travis, by the way.
They ran aground trying to get to the fishing hole.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot to get to.
I watched it.
Yeah, and Travis was like, I'm flailing my arms. Flailing his arms, go around, trying to get him around the sandbar, and he was just Steve just buried it right
hard aground.
But I knew what
off.
To do. I got everybody out, every man and woman for themselves. We pushed and got it floating again, and we were fine.
It was,
but that didn't have anything to do with the inclement weather.
This is true.
Which is not a word.
Unclimate, inclimate,
inclement. Anyway,
it was bad. Bad weather.
We always check the weather before we go in the boat. That's a responsible thing to do, isn't it? We do. But I asked Travis, I'm like, are we going to be okay? He's like, yeah, let's go. Get in the boat. So we go back to Catfish, and it was me and Travis and our two kids and his sister, and all four of our parents were in another boat. So we're all back there fishing. And you guys know that moment where the wind gets cold?
Her voice just changed. Like, right, she's emotional.
Like, right before it's about to rain. And I'm just like, I'm like looking up and the sky's getting dark and the wind just got super cold. And I was like, there's children in this boat and their mom might kill me if something happens to them. And I was like, no. So Travis is fine. Travis doesn't care. Travis is throwing the line in the water. Like,
is this the one where the speakers start crackling?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So finally, I'm like, it's about to pour. We have got to get out of this weather. So we get the parents' boat. We get our boat. And we pull ourselves under the mangroves.
Safely.
No, there's nothing safe about anything that's happening. And the sky opens up. And it's pouring harder than I've ever seen it pour in my life. And there's nowhere to go.
And lightning. Don't forget the lightning.
Then the lightning started. And there's no tarps. Nothing. No rain jackets. There was one tarp. And we put all the kids under it with Emmy. And
we didn't want to let them see what was happening.
The speakers in the boat started crackling, and I didn't realize what was going on. And I'm like, man, the water hitting the boat from the rain must be like shorting out a wire. And Travis is like, nope, that's the lightning. As he reels back and casts through
the
mangroves.
The fish were actually tailing.
Into the, yeah.
You couldn't see fish tailing. That was too much rain. You couldn't see anything.
How long did it rain? Never mind. How long did it rain?
You know, a good hour.
At least.
A good hour.
We just sat there shivering
cold.
And trying not to die.
Is that the one where I lost the contact?
And yes, I'm getting there. Stop talking.
Somebody
take
his mind.
Golly. Yeah, so we finally decided it stopped raining enough to try to get back. And we like put the kids in the bottom of the boat, wrap a tarp around them. Because, you know, driving through the rain is like tiny knives at your skin. And we're going, and I turn around, and Travis, who cannot see anything, y'all, he's blind, is reaching back for a contact lens in the rain.
Caught it like Mr. Miyagi.
Shoving it in his eye with one hand on the wheel. trying to steer us, and I'm like,
didn't
we're
slow
just
down.
bouncing in the waves, and I'm like, this is it. Jesus, come quickly.
Got home safely.
We made it.
God protects.
Caught
fools,
a bunch of fish.
Fools and little children.
Thank God. Thank God we were on the boat with the little children.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.